Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you too. This is Law of the Land, and I am Gloria J. Brown Marshall. I am having a full house today, all kind of juggling going on, but once I get into the groove with you on Law of the Land, it just makes it all feel worthwhile. Things fade away, and we can get down to the nitty. Gritty. Yes, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in unanimous decision that Donald Trump can stay on the ballot in Colorado. And the reason why, well, let's go to the U.S. Constitution. The 14th Amendment, ratified in 1868, after the Civil War ended, Civil War between 1861 and 1865, 13th Amendment abolished slavery except as punishment for a crime, thus triggering our criminal abuses that we have within the criminal justice system, because then people were criminalized for things just to continue to abuse and abuse their labor. But the 14th Amendment gives us citizenship at birth, privileges and immunities, due process, and equal protection. That's in the Section 1. But Section 3 says, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same. So Donald Trump was part of an insurrection. He led that rebellion, attacking the Capitol, among other things. And the idea was, because he has violated this instance of insurrection stated in the 14th Amendment, Section 3, he would not be eligible to be president of the United States, and therefore Colorado and other states had gone so far as to take him off the ballot. However, Section 5 states, The Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation provisions of this article. So that Section 5, that Congress shall have the power to enforce the provisions within the 14th Amendment, then leads us to the position that I guess the justices of the Supreme Court said that Congress has to enact legislation in order for Donald Trump to be kept off of the ballot. That is a quickie version. We'll go into more detail later, because the show today has something in it that is brand new. I've not seen done anywhere. We're focusing on unionism and Trader Joe's. Unionism and Trader Joe's. And so I want to go back to this very important issue of why the Supreme Court ruled the way they did. But I also want to make sure for all of us who have been shopping at Trader Joe's, we've watched their expansion. They've also, like Amazon, been a focus point for those who want to start to unionize the workers. And so I am going to have a former employee of Trader Joe's on. This is a breaking story, and that's why I'm cutting through to make sure that I get it to you. These are the people on the front lines, and I'm going to have within moments one of the union worker organizers. And Michael G., is she available? Okay, we have with us, and I said this is breaking news and she has very little time, we have with us Jordan Pollack. Jordan Pollack, thank you so much. Please tell us your title and what you've been working on with Trader Joe's and union organizing.
Hi, guys. So I'm Jordan Pollack. I'm a worker organizer at Trader Joe's. I've been there for almost 2 years now. And there have been union efforts at this store, at the SX Trader Joe's on the Lower East Side. There have been union efforts at this store since the onset of COVID, when there really was just a clear demonstration from the company that they were valuing profits over their employees' lives. And there were pay cuts, and there were no hazard pay, and there were many issues with regards to how customers were acting and not respecting the boundaries of the workers there. And then on top of that, during, as it's gone on and progressed since COVID and union organizing efforts, we've seen the company not maintain just a lot of essentially rules that they will say, and they will apply them arbitrarily, and you have to work a certain amount of hours to qualify for health insurance, and that's really difficult when you actually have health needs and have to miss work, so then you can't work enough to qualify for insurance. They're also working for a living wage. We would like to work for a living wage in New York, and we're not making that. It's also an issue where people who get hired will get hired at more money than people who have been working at the store for years, and there's no like retroactive adjustment of people's pay, and there are just many, many other issues we are organizing for. We actually had our union election last spring in April, and we lost in a tie after some egregious union busting. We filed over, I think we filed about 13 unfair labor practices in the time span between when we went public and filed for a union and when we had our election. And in that time, we lost over 15% support in favor of a union. And so we are still organizing. We're still processing those charges. We also have a CMEX order that we're waiting on, which essentially says that if there are ULPs committed between the time of filing a petition and the time of the election, you can get a bargaining order retroactively. So we are hoping for that, and are essentially in the process of still organizing and waiting for the NLRB.
And so Trader Joe's has actually been spreading around the country and throughout the tri-state area. We've seen many times in New York City that the Trader Joe's is welcomed. People are very happy. Finally, you have some quality shopping like Whole Foods and other stores and conveniences. But now we see the other side of this. And what has Trader Joe's done to undermine the attempts to organize the employees into a union?
I think that progressive image actually allows Trader Joe's to get away with a lot, because people are shocked to hear that their friendly neighborhood grocery store that is like has all these happy queer people is actually just a multi-billion-dollar corporation. It's run by the Albrecht brothers, who also own Aldi's. They don't care about workers. We know this because there was the recent, essentially, statement made by a Morgan Lewis lawyer representing the Trader Joe's company saying that the NLRA is unconstitutional. But how they have suppressed their workers is, like, very classic union busting. They get this very expensive legal firm that's essentially goal is to suppress organizing activities. So what they do is they hold captive audience meetings which are illegal meetings that are held in which they tell employees, tell workers tons and tons of lies about the union. And when you're hearing this from an authority, it doesn't sound so scary when you're being told it from me right now, but when you're hearing this from an authority figure that the union's going to make your wages lower, the union's going to make your schedule not flexible anymore, the union's going to make you not able to transfer to another, so all the things they like about Trader Joe's are going to go away. And they also had people who are anti-union and people who are more vulnerable to the company. They like, tell them lies and also have people go around and spread views, false narratives of the union. They also suppressed any distribution of union material, so in the break room where we would be, like, hanging up union materials, they would take them down, they would throw them out. It's like a complete censorship of information, even though you are allowed to distribute union information and discuss the union and distribute information outside of workspaces. So that was pretty, that was a form of suppression. We've also seen a large degree of retaliation against union organizers and union supporters in the form of firings. We've seen they've taken away raises, they've taken people off of their sections. It is very textbook union busting. And they cover it by their progressive image, but if you search Trader Joe's union busting online, I'm sure you will see tons of examples of it going on. And it's unfortunate because I think that the, I think like we would all like to believe there is a company out there that is allowing its workers to actually unionize. And if a company is actually pro-worker, this letter, workers do so. Also, there's like nothing, I guess, preventing Trader Joe's from taking away any of the things that they have in store that people like right now, because nothing's written in a contract. So a union would actually like let us keep also the things that we do like about Trader Joe's, and that's like a big misunderstanding as well. I also do want to correct earlier, I said that there were pay cuts during COVID, but actually there weren't pay cuts, but they did freeze wages for a year because they said they paid too much during the pandemic, so people didn't get their usual raise for a year. Just wanted to make sure I clarified that point. But yeah, those are my thoughts on that.
Well, Jordan Pollack, you took your time out. I know you're in the middle of many things, and we want you to come back on the show later. This was just a breaking news story about Trader Joe's and what it is doing to prevent unions from being formed there, that our friendly neighborhood Trader Joe's store has another side to it. Thank you so much for joining us today, and please come back to update us on this story.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
And this is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall. Later on in the show, we're going to have one of the Trader Joe's employees who was terminated, and he's going to tell his side of the story about how his termination comes on the heels of being a part or attempting to be a part of union organizing. So I want us to understand, I, for full disclosure, shop at Trader Joe's. That's how I came across this story. I saw when they were voting for a union, I saw the protests outside of the store, and I wanted to know more. And that's what I'm asking of my listeners. When you see things, say things. If you see something, I know it's a dangerous time. I'm not trying to put myself in danger or you. But you can ask questions, and that's all I did. I walked up to someone, and I said, what's going on here? Why are you protesting outside of Trader Joe's? And that's when I found out about, you know, the undermining of union organizing. And I know there are union people listening on this line, and I want us to understand the unions have given people a step up for generations. My father was in the union. The book I'm working on right now is on protest and union activism and activism generally. When I talk about activism, I'm talking about you see something, you say something, you do something, you act in some way. That's the general view I have of activism. You don't have to be that person in the middle of the street with a bullhorn and the sign and screaming with your fist in the air. Yes, that can be part of it. But I want you to be able to know you have agency. You have power. You are empowered by all that you gain from listening to WBAI. How are you going to use it? Not just in conversation, but when you see things around you, how do you act? How must you then use your voice, use your action to make the world a better place, one small piece at a time? Right now, things seem so huge and overwhelming that it feels as though you cannot do anything. But I'm saying that you can. Just do what you can within your wingspan, within your sphere of influence. Just look around where you are and make a difference where you stand. That is what is so important. And if we each try to make a difference where we stand, then things will continue to change. This is Women's Month, our first show in Women's Month, March, and I want you to know, as you heard with Jordan, who is telling us from her perspective how she, as an employee, is also part of union organizing. I told you, unions, whether or not it's the police union, the firemen's union, or firepersons union, whether or not it's the union for the municipal employees, if you're in a union, wherever that may be, that gives some level of protection. People have fought and died to form unions. Over 150 years, the union organizing spirit is one in which people are trying to have more stable financial security in their lives, and with that stable financial security, they can build a life. Without stability, you don't know what you're going to earn from one week to the next. You don't know if you're going to be paid. You don't know what your health insurance may be or not. Then you cannot have a foundation upon which to build anything. And so unions have been able to take people to other levels of, you want to say, the class structure, if you're into that, but it's also been able to give health and welfare benefits to people. When I say health and welfare benefits, I mean they know they can take their children to the doctor to take care of their health issues. That gives them the stability to stay in school, which gives them the stability to stay in a job or go to college or do the things, realize their dreams. Unions are important to this country, and it have been important to this country for nearly 200 years. And I want us to understand that even if you have a place like a Trader Joe's that on the outside looks like everything is great, you have wonderful food, you have options, you have all these things, you also have to look behind the curtain and realize that if there's something wrong, you may have to speak up and try to fix it. We'll be right back on this Women's History Month first program of March with Girl on Fire. And I hope you will be. Whether or not you're a girl of 80, 90, or 5, be on fire. Be an activist in your own way. We'll be right back with an employee from Trader Joe's who wants to tell his story as why he was fired and his union organizing. We're talking about union organizing at Trader Joe's. This is a breaking story. I have not heard anybody talking about union organizing at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's has been a company that's spreading fast around the country and in the tri-state area, especially in New York City. We all were so excited, I know I was, to have a Trader Joe's anywhere near me, to have quality, consistent food and at relatively decent prices. It depends sometimes on what it is you want to buy. But now we're seeing another side of this Trader Joe's type of image. And we're here with Fred Moore. And Fred Moore is a former Trader Joe's employee who has suffered discrimination and was fired while pushing for unions at the store. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think about you and Christian Smalls, who was part of the leader of organizing at Amazon. And so, Fred, I want you to tell us more about you and tell us your story about what happened at Trader Joe's. Thank you for being here.
Yes, ma'am. thank you for having me. My story is pretty much, I would say, pretty much the story that many people have had. You know, you get a job, you really fall in love with the job, and, you know, you figure out, okay, well, we actually want a union here. I want to be able to keep this job and have benefits. Lucky for me, as soon as I got there, 2022, in October, about a month later, I was approached about the potential of having a union there at Trader Joe's. I was really excited about it because, you know, a new job already is exciting itself, but being at a grocery store where you get a discount during this, in this economy, everything seemed pretty all right. So having a union or the idea of having a union was great. So after about 4 months or so, we marched on the bridge to let the captain know that, hey, we want a union. This is what we're pushing for, and we feel like we have the numbers for it. After that march, you know, we had a lot of retaliation that I would say a lot of people don't necessarily understand. So one of the things I did want to be clear about is one of the main ways that people retaliate, because, of course, as regular humans, we don't assume that people are going to try to use your emotions when it comes to, you know, your actual job against you. And that's one thing I think people need to understand is that these jobs, once they figure out that they don't, you know, want a union there at their company, they will use anything that you've told them against you for their purposes. I think that may have been the most shocking thing in our union push. But we got to have a vote, and our vote ended up being a tie. I've never seen too many ties, even in my collegiate career or even in a just regular K-12. I haven't seen too many ties. So that was really, really awkward to go through that experience. Recently, though, because of my outspokenness about wanting a union and people needing benefits and the company itself dwindling down benefits at every chance it can get, I was pretty much let go on February 11th this year, like in the middle of Black History Month. So my situation was a little bit different. So being at Trader Joe's, I was very vocal once I was approached about, you know, us potentially having a union. I was very vocal about what unions do and the reality of what happens as soon as we say that we want to unionize. Most people understood that, okay, this is something that could be serious. But as the years kept going after the vote, we saw many of our employees and friends either be fired or leave the job based on the hostility that was created after the vote. So the first incident that I remember that I had to log was I was literally trying to understand or trying to get more people involved in the union. So one of the ways of doing that is explaining, okay, well, this is how we move up here at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's doesn't have a set standard or clear ascension for promotion or anything like that or layout. So I clearly just waited until we had a huddle where everybody was there. And the first thing I did was ask, okay, so what can we do, or what is the list that we can do to let us know that we're on the right track to being promoted? You could almost hear a pin drop after I asked this question. But moreover, you see the managers and the people in charge pretty much make this ridiculous face, this horrible look, and a few snarky sounds. After that, everyone pretty much goes quiet again. They don't bring it up until the end of that huddle, and they try to give me a rubric that basically says what the managers should do. Now, after this meeting, I didn't think too much of it, but some of my coworkers came up to me and was like, hey, are you okay? Did you kind of see how they treated you during that time? This is the first time I've realized that it was about to start being an issue with the way I presented the union information. The next time, I was at the same type of huddle, and the huddles are pretty much where we get all the employees together and devise information that everybody should know. This next time, I was very clear. I was waited till the end of the huddle, raised my hand, and let everyone know, hey, anybody with a pen, if you would like any information about the union, feel free to come to anybody with a pen. Now, last year, we had plenty of huddles, and these huddles were for the store, supposedly to make the store work more smoothly. Last year, the huddles, though, were weaponized and used against us to push and, how would I say, try to persuade people with company information. So as a regular person who's already been through this, I'm very clear. This is the type of information that we're giving out, and if you need to come to anybody, let me know. One of the mates came around the corner, what it seemed like from nowhere, and literally yelled, "Hey, you can't give out information here. That's illegal." And I mean, in front of the entire store in the morning where we're all about to open. I gather myself very quickly and I reply, no, you're lying. That's an absolute lie. We can explain what our information is and we can hand out information. We remember very clearly what the stipulations were last year during our union push. So that was the second time me being understanding that I'm being retaliated against and me writing it up to what I assumed was HR at the company. What I come to find out later is the company doesn't necessarily have an HR for the employees, HR for the company, like most companies, but at Trader Joe's, we don't even have an HR department. They'll tell you to go to whatever mate you can find and explain to that person what your issue is, and they'll deal with the situation there. That's really not a any kind of way to deal with any kind of HR reports or any kind of harassment or any kind of reports that need to be reported to someone with authority. After I reported my last two reports, I had another shift coming up, and that shift, I was coming in, it was about 4 a.m. The store was locked from the inside. So as the store is being locked from the inside, everybody has to wait outside until somebody gets there to open the door. We're waiting for about 30 minutes. And of course, I live in Brooklyn, East New York, and this store is 400 Grand Street in LES area. Everyone is standing outside. They have umbrellas because it's raining, and I forgot to bring mine. So after about 30 minutes, someone opens the door. As I'm walking in, one of the managers looks at me and asks, are you coming? Now, the passive aggressiveness I've dealt with for about 4 months leading up until that point, but after waiting outside for an extra 30 minutes in the cold and the rain without an umbrella, directly away from the rest of my coworkers on the bus bench in front of the store, it was pretty clear that I was waiting to come to work or waiting to go inside and when they opened the door. So that microaggression, I felt as though it was the last straw. So I wanted to go ahead and report that one. Instead of being able to allow me to report that aggression, they took the report from the mate that I was letting her know that I was going to report her, and this would be her third time that I was reporting her to HR. They took her statement, and where her statement said that one, I smelled like one that said I was smoking marijuana before I came in. Two, that said that I was being aggressive with her because I told her that I was going to tell HR about the way she was treating me that morning and previously. And three, that I was throwing boxes and perhaps cursing on the floor. Now, these are things that, one, are not my character, but two, in the state of New York, smoking marijuana is legal. I don't understand what that whole thing was, but as far as being able to paint a picture about somebody black that any person socialized in America will understand is direct racism, yeah, that's pretty much how I felt about that directly. So with that situation, the next shift that I had, I explained to the captain, I was like, hey, sir, like, this is what's going on, and I don't know if you understand that, but this is what I thought that I was going to do, and this is what turned out. So me being an employee, telling you what a superior has done, and then you seeing a report from a superior explaining to you the backside of that, when the superior's note says that this was taken before I put mine on, which I told everyone about my report at the beginning of the shift because that's what happened. So eventually, we talk about that for about 2 hours. During this time where he's reprimanding me or trying to explain why the manager's report takes precedent over mine, he says, okay, well, we're going to do your review. And your review is, you know, an emotional thing because your raise is attached to it. How much money or how well you've done with the company is attached to it. Since that's attached to it, it's a lot harder for a lot of people to keep their composure during the reviews. So they divvy them out during different times. So he felt as though it was great to do my review during this time, which was fine. During my review, he lets me know I'm not going to get my raise because I gave a security officer a discount. The security officer is one of the few people that can actually, you know, protect us from physical harm if it happened, but they don't deserve a discount. Another discussion for another day. I explained to him that I've logged in my Dayforce account, where we actually log in and record our hours and get our insurance. I actually logged in on my Dayforce account where one of the employees, one, had asked me to void a transaction, but after that, voiding that transaction for someone else, he then gave that person, who was the delivery person, a discount. I told the manager, and the manager said, "That's not how we do things." So nothing was done, and he didn't lose his raise at all. So I asked the captain very clearly, "What's going on with this favoritism specifically?" That conversation took another hour. So to acknowledge and to address the incident report that I had written on January 29th against that manager, they used that time to, one, tell me that the manager report is the report that they're going to take, and two, that, the manager report is the report that they're going to take, and two, that this is how this situation is going to go concerning my raise. So after that, I'm upset, but I finished my shift and I head home. The next day I come in, during my lunch break, I receive threats. Now, I'm about to clock out for lunch, and then one of the people from my job, Georgina Diaz, comes and says, "Okay, hey, this is going to drag you in all
you
day."
Know what?
Yes,
we already discussed the language. Yes, we already discussed the language. We're going to wrap up. Let's get to the end of what happened.
Oops, sorry about that. Literally got caught up in telling the story. I apologize. He says these foul things, and one of my coworkers comes and tells me immediately. After that, I'm like, okay, let me gather my things and go ahead for my lunch. Two more employees come up and explain that they heard the exact same thing. So at this point, I'm like, okay, let me completely leave the premises and debate whether I need to come back to work. Talk to my partner. She explains what she thinks I should do. So I go back and I write an incident report about what my employees just told me and what I had to deal with and hear during this process. Moreover, the last part, what I've explained to him was that I hadn't explained that last bit of information about the Dayforce to anyone except the captain. So I told him very directly that I felt as though that the captain himself, I felt as though he gave that information out to that person, which is why they were threatening me. And I felt this way very, very adamantly, and I explained this then, and I explained it afterwards. After that day, I was able to complete my shift. They sent him home. I was able to complete my shift that day. They made sure he didn't come to work that next shift, and then I worked that next shift. About 4 days passed by, get my time off, and then I come back to work. On that day, February 11th, is when I'm fired. So for me and for a lot of my coworkers, it was really clear that being outspoken and then doing what you're supposed to do as far as going to management about superiors who are acting over or overexerting their power, doing that will ultimately result in you being fired, especially if you're doing it with a heavy union push or a heavy hand of what they feel as though is a union activity.
And we're talking with Fred Moore, and he is a person who was participating in union organizing at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is an American chain of grocery stores headquartered in Monrovia, California. There are nearly 570 Trader Joe's stores across the United States. We've seen them expand around the tri-state area, in particular in New York City, and we welcome them because I know I welcome the Trader Joe's store for the consistency in food and pricing. But from 2020s and even before that, Trader Joe's has been accused of union busting, that it is actually working with Elon Musk in a lawsuit to have the National Labor Relations Board undermine the collecting bargaining practices and deem them unconstitutional. So Trader Joe's company which is one that has at this point over 50,000 employees. Over 50,000. So it might seem like the mom and pop store from around the corner. And it seems from Fred that they go out of their way to make it seem like this is just one little store and this is kind of a, open and good feeling. But you're telling us it's not like that.
No, ma'am. They make it feel that way. And at first, I felt the same way when I walked into the store. I'm from the South, so I've never actually been into a Trader Joe's before the one that I worked at. So it was very shocking, the very first time I went in there. I didn't see any of the name brands. All I saw was Trader Joe's brand. So it threw me off. I wasn't necessarily ready for that. But as I worked there, it came really clear that it was what I would call New York's first Walmart. That's how I look at it. They have their own products. They have their own deals. And they look to help the community. They seem to be a lot bigger, and for me, it doesn't seem like they are because, once you do help a community, you want to provide things, provide great food, provide great things, great customer service, and allow the people to join in with that. With Trader Joe's, you really can't invest into the company because it's a private company, and they have a lot of recalls on a lot of their products. So that's the only two things that really kind of stand out with their business model. They really want to seem like a mom and pop, but at the same time, they have one, a lot of recalls, and two, they literally do have their name on almost every brand, just like a Walmart. So when you go in there, it does have a Walmart grocery store feel. So,
and the revenue is at this point, the revenue is about $17 billion a year. And it's owned by a parent company of Aldi's. And some of you may know Aldi's, but that is a store that's in the Midwest and part of the South. And the Aldi's brand is one that's more of a rough and tumble type store. But I thank you so much for joining us, Fred. I look forward to following up with this union issue at Trader Joe's. And thank you once again for being up with us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And I do apologize about the bleeps earlier. Sorry about that.
Okay. This is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall. We've been talking about unionizing at Trader Joe's, the fact that actually Trader Joe's is getting a reputation for union busting, and it continues to be an obstacle in union organizing at its stores here in New York City. We should be aware of that and understand that it has joined in a lawsuit with Elon Musk to have the National Labor Relations Board, which enforces the U.S. labor laws in this country regarding collective bargaining and unfair labor practices, deemed unconstitutional. Trader Joe's is part of a push by Elon Musk and others to undermine union organizing and collective bargaining in this country. And this is a breaking news story. I've not heard it anywhere else. The Guardian newspaper carried some of these issues in 2022 that Trader Joe's is basically trying to stop unions from organizing in its stores. There is one unionized store so far, and I believe that's in Oakland, California. But this is something that I think that you need to continue to follow us. We all want to enjoy the Trader Joe's brand, but at the same time, we have to know what's going on behind the curtain. This is Women's History Month, March. I am a person who's a very proud female and very proud African American, and having this Black History Month and then Women's History Month this first week is very important to me, and I hope it strengthens, empowers, and inspires you. As a matter of fact, I want to give you these two announcements. One, I'm going to be speaking on March 16th in Newark, New Jersey. Yes, I'm going to be in Newark, New Jersey. All of you New Jersey listeners and the New York ones who want to come over across the river, I'm going to be at the Association of Black Women Lawyers Program. And that Association of Black Women Lawyers Program is going to be at the Newark Library, the Newark Public Library. I'm going to be talking about She Took Justice for Women's History Month, Women's History Program, 12 p.m., 12 to 2. 12 to 2, the Association of Black Women Lawyers at the Newark Public Library. And then I want you to know on March 22nd, Friday, part of the National Black Writers Conference. And this is very important. We're banning books in this country like mad. And it's trying to undermine your ability to think, to grow, to be all you can be. And the 17th Annual National Black Writers Conference is there in Brooklyn, Megar Evers College. Run by, this is something that's so important to know, the literature department at Megar Evers is a dynamite department, and it's grown so much at one time under the auspices of Dr. Brenda Green. And I want you to know that the National Black Writers Conference and her founding of this conference so many years ago, the 17th annual conference, is a dynamite diamond part of Brooklyn and the Black literature experience. I'm going to be speaking there on Friday, March 22nd in the evening, and some of the stellar people, Paul Coates, who's the father of Ta-Nehisi Coates, Percival Everett, who wrote the book Erasure, upon which American Fiction, the Oscar-nominated film, is based, is going to be there. Penny O. Joseph, Bernice McFadden, and Wallace Ford from Megar Evers will be the MC. I will be the moderator. It's going to be a dynamite evening, but it's part of a dynamite conference that's from the 20th to the 23rd of March at Megar Evers College. Go on the website for the Center for Black Literature, and you will know more about that conference. Sign up, be a part of what's going on. This is going to be historic. I want to go from there to all that we've been able to do on the air today and every day at WBAI is because we have listener support. And so at this point, we need to know that you are continuing to support Law of the Land. Will you be my BAI buddy? That's what I'm asking for. And Michael is here with me, and you rarely hear Michael and I together, but we're going to do this together. And Michael, we have been doing this show for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. We've been, can you imagine? I'm glad that I don't age one drop. And you just had a birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank
Michael
you.
G. Hats. So Michael G. Haskins has been at the how long have you been an engineer on WBAI?
I've been the chief announcer since 96 and a half.
Yes. And so when I met him, he was already firmly established as this stellar engineer. And that's why I'm so proud to work with him. But both of us need your assistance at this time. And we need you to be a BAI buddy for Law of the Land. Tell them the number again, Michael.
Sure thing, Gloria. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Become that BAI buddy for Law of the Land. Or you can just make a one-time contribution, become that first-time subscriber to the station by calling that pledge line number, 212-209-2950.
Michael G., I want them to be a BAI buddy. I'm sure all the other shows are good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking for them to be a Law of the Land BAI buddy. Here's one of the things that I want to take this moment out for this particular reason. We just gave you breaking news on what's going on at Trader Joe's. Now, this is something that I think is so crucial for us. Not only did we take the time to give you this breaking news, I had another story planned. I was going to delve deeper into the story around why the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the way it did, in my estimation. And I did that anyway. I had that at the top of the show. But then to be able to do breaking news and give the time for a labor organizer to come on, seek her out. I had to go find her. seek her out, put her on the show so she could talk about what the labor organizing that's taking place on Trader Joe's, and at the same time bring an employee, former employee, in to tell his story about Trader Joe's. This gives you choices. Not saying don't shop here or shop somewhere else, but it gives you choices. That's what WBAI does. Our information gives you the choices that you can use to make your life better and empower you in your choices. So 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 is the number to call to become a WBAI buddy. And it could be for whatever amount you want it to be, but I think that just the idea that you're showing that you're supporting this, and for those people who have already given, thank you. I thank you so much. And I'm sure you're saying, yes, I'm tired of hearing about WBAI's pitching this, that, and the other every time we turn around. But the balance of how I run my show, I gave you quality throughout the first, I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court, they've talked about this, but to actually go to your Constitution and you can see for yourself how these Supreme Court justices decided what they decided. I'm concerned because one minute they're saying, oh, it's states' rights. And then as soon as they want a different result, then it's not states' rights. And Michael G., when I'm talking about these things, I really try to talk about them in a way in which I want everyone to understand what's going on in their country and with their constitution. Do you think I've done a good job with that?
That's why the show is so popular, because people can understand. You don't break it down and just leave it into legalese when only a certain short segment of the population is able to understand. You break it down. You tell us, explain to us what law of the land really means. And I'm so appreciative of it and so delighted to have been your engineer all these years. But if you right now, as we are, you know, in the final moments of this program, listening to this show, have been listening to this show, and you have not pledged, if you have not pledged to law of the land since this year started, we just started, you can do so right now by calling that pledge line, 212-209-2950. You can also pledge online. We have a dedicated site. Well, our website is WBAI.org. But if you're interested in some of the thank you gifts that are available at WBAI, talking about Women's History Month, let's go to this dedicated site. It's give2wbai.org. give2wbai.org, and you can make your selection there. You can make your contributions there. You could be traveling on Metro North now, coming into the city or leaving the city. You could be on the Jersey Turnpike riding in a bus, or on one of the other conveyances moving you around the city. Make the call, support Law of the Land. Take this time and support this program that brings so much to you. And certainly we want to thank Linda McDonald Carter for all of her efforts when Gloria is traveling and doing the work of being not only a professor at John Jay College, but an author, a published author of several books, doing so many other things, a poet. Thank you to Linda Carter, Professor Carter. But thank you, those of you listening right now, to Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall.
Yes, and that's give to the number 2, WBAI. As we wrap up in our last moments, once again, that's 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. If you have a chance to go into your Trader Joe's store, why don't you ask them about union organizing? Just ask the question. Go to management and say, I hear that there's going to be a union starting here. Can you give me more information about how you're going to support union organizing? That's something you can do. That's something you've been empowered to do, having listened to this show. It's a value to the community and a value to you personally and professionally. And I hope you will continue to support Law of the Land, because I will continue to appreciate you always, always. And as Michael G. and I in this program. Thank you again, Michael G., for all you do. There was a lot of moving parts in this show,
yeah.
but you made it happen. And once again, that's 212-209-2950, 212 area code. Be my BAI buddy. I need you. I need you. It might sound like an independent, all by myself type female, but I need my listeners. Thank you so much for being there for me through thick and thin. Looking forward to it. And as the theme going out begins to play, you know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say. For all those I saw last week, the other week, and other places out on the street, I'm going to say, I'll see you. On the radio.